good day. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and this is EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Escher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. And, oh, yeah, you're the one who makes the program every day with your lived experiences, your insights, your takes. And today, Debbie, I'm looking forward to today's program. We're going to be talking about something I think a lot of people can relate to. I believe you, like me, we were, cradle Catholics, baptized as infants, and somewhat, to whatever degree, raised in the faith. But Debbie, a lot of people come to faith in Jesus and the church at a later time in their lives, and that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, so if you came to Jesus, coming to know our Lord and Savior at a more mature part of your life, we'd like to hear about that and the journey into the church. It's very important, we learn, because there are many seekers out there. They turn on to EWTN and they're saying, I want to learn more about this, but I want to be in the privacy of my car or my home and just kind of take it all in. Well, your story can change a life, can help a soul. So if you've come to know Jesus later in life, we want to hear from you. Please tell us your story. It has to be kind of the Reader's Digest version, though, because we got to move quickly on this show.
Right.
So here, Ryan Penny is answering the phones, and here is the number, 1-833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
Yeah, in praying for and preparing this show today, Debbie, I came across a couple of scriptures that came to my mind. One is, let me see, I've got it pulled up here. It's 2 Peter 3:15.
Okay.
And he writes, "Consider that our Lord's patience is for your salvation." Consider that our Lord's patience is for your salvation. See, God is not only loves us, but he's patient in waiting for us to come to him. And then, Debbie, I recall the parable of the workers who come, some of them come in at the 11th hour, and they get the same pay as those who were working all day. So God, it doesn't matter when one comes to faith in God. You get a full share of the inheritance, So it's pretty, we have an awesome God.
We do have an awesome God. And it's all about how we can expand and grow and to take in the greatness of God. And Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI talks about that, Jerry, and it's very important. Some people do it at a very quick pace. Some people are a little slower, but that's okay. Because like you said, Jerry, you get to that point with a deeper understanding, a unity with God, and it's very, very important. So we want to hear your story. Did I say that right? Pope Emeritus Benedict, is that the way to say it? Pope?
You did, yeah.
I did. Oh, wow. Wow, cool. I just love him. He's such what a great, great Pope. Okay, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. Tell us about your journey into the faith, when that happened. And you know what? We want to also hear about, folks that they came to know Jesus at 70 years old, 75, 80 years old, 90 years old, deathbed conversions. We want to hear. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and at some point during the show, I'll do it briefly now. I just wanted, Debbie and I want to exhort anyone who is listening right now, if you're not baptized, if you're not a member of any Christian religion, you don't practice any faith, you're not really quite yet embracing God or the faith, it's never, ever too late. So please, please, God is calling you. He's calling each and every one of us. So give God an opportunity to reach into your heart. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. You might think, well, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70. I had my chance and I missed it. No, you didn't. You didn't miss your chance. So let's talk about this. If you have come to faith, say you weren't a cradle Catholic or a Christian of other tradition, but you came to a relationship with Jesus, say in your 30s, 40s, 50s. Let's talk about it, because Debbie, there are those people listening who may feel like the chance has passed them by.
Very true. I'm so glad you said that, Jerry. Here's the number, 1-833-288-3986. Don't wait till the end of the show to call in, because we always, almost always, we leave folks on the line, and that bothers us greatly. And I just wanted to say, may I say this real quickly, Jerry? I just wanted to thank everyone that emailed us over the weekend. We were flooded, absolutely flooded with emails of folks saying how grateful they are to the Take Two family, the prayers that they need for their family members. And then also praise reports were coming in, and it was just an amazing weekend. And I don't know what all happened, but it just seems like the floodgates were open and everybody was praising God, talking about prayer, talking about the Take Two family, and feeling very comfortable. So I just want to say, you guys are awesome, and thank you for making our weekend so special.
Yeah, and you're going to make this program special like you do every day as well. So we thank the show team. Rich is behind the controls, and Jeff is doing our social media. Rich Jesse, Jeff Burson. Ryan Penny is the one you get to talk to. He is so nice. He's so friendly. You're going to want to talk for a long time, but you can't. You got to get your call screen and get in here. So, and he's good, and he's fast. So those are the folks assisting with the program today. Thank you to the affiliates who carry it. And we're asking today, have you come to Jesus, come to the Catholic faith, maybe a non-Catholic Christian tradition? At some point, maybe a little bit later in your life, how you define later. Later is relative, but maybe you weren't raised in any faith, not baptized as a baby or anything like that. But how did that come about? Again, as Debbie said, we gotta get the 2 or 3 minute Reader's Digest version, but we do want to hear from you.
Yeah, because your story is very impactful. I mean, people learn from your journey. And so don't be thinking for a second, oh, well, you know, my story, it's kind of run of the mill, you know. No, because there's different nuances in everybody's unique path that people can relate to. Okay. And they identify with. We know, Jerry and I know, because we get the emails, you know, we'll get an email that says, hey, Sally that called in, you know, I totally can relate to her on this level. I mean, it's so beautiful the way God uses people and their life experiences to help others get closer to him. We just got another text that just came in. Take Two is awesome, and the Take Two family is awesome as well. We just got that text that just came in from New Jersey.
Oh, wonderful.
I love it. I love New Jersey because I love the pizza.
Well, plus you're how do you say it? If you're from New Jersey, what are you?
Somebody asked me that. I don't know if it's New Jerseyite or New Jerseyan. I always used to say New Jerseyan. And let me ask Gigi. Gigi's listening. Gigi, is it Jerseyite or Jerseyan? I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, whether you first came to the faith a little bit later in life, maybe you had some faith, some religious upbringing as a child, maybe a youth, a young adult, even into your adulthood, but that became less important for you and you kind of walked away from that a little bit. Maybe you've come back to the faith later in life. This is the thing we want to hear about today because, you know, Debbie, people probably look at you and me and say, oh man, they're probably, you know, rock solid on fire since they were baptized. I was baptized at 22 days of age. And you know what? It doesn't happen that way, folks. It's an up and down, bumpy path for all of us, Debbie. So we want to hear the journey briefly, how some of these other people have come to faith at a little bit of a later age.
Yeah. We want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it all helps us, right? We got to hear that. So this is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. So please call in at 833-288-3986. And up first is going to be Paul in Niceville, Florida. I was waiting for you to talk first, but yes, okay. She has. The official statement is in.
People are dying to hear, Debbie. I'll plug the other show in just a minute. If you're from New Jersey, what are you?
Yeah, I was correct. New Jerseyan.
New Jerseyan. Okay.
Yes, that's what Gigi says. If Gigi says it, I believe it. But Allison also weighed in and said, come on, Debbie, just admit it. You're a Jersey girl. And that is true. I will always be a Jersey girl.
Good. Well, somebody who I don't know where she's from, but she could be an honorary Jersey girl and your sister. That's Teresa Tomeo,
yes.
another fellow Italian with you there. Teresa has Catholic connection every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time here on EWTN Radio. So tune in for that. Teresa has just such a great grasp on culture and the media, and she talks about so many important things that are going on. So don't miss Catholic connection, 8 a.m. Eastern time on EWTN, many of these same affiliates.
There is an open phone line, so if you came to the faith later in life, we want to hear from you at 833-288-3986. Please pick up that phone line. Ryan is waiting for you. But as we stated, first up is Paul, and I want to live in this town, Niceville. I love that. It sounds so happy in Florida. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, it's good to be talking with you guys.
Thank you. Likewise.
Well, I guess the Cliff Notes version of my testimony coming to the faith is parents were quote-unquote Catholic, you know, got married by the justice of the peace, you know, for cohabiting, contracepting, all those things. So, of course, the marriage went south when I was 8. They divorced. Dad moved to Germany. Mom stayed here in Florida. And, you know, my older brother and I, we both just started going down real fast without that disciplinarian figure in our life. Got in with the wrong crowd. You know, I had a cable television in my room at 8, so I was, you know, getting fed all the lies of the world, you know, through MTV, BET, Comedy Central, VH1, you know, all these things at a very early age. So, you know, I lost that faith that I initially remember when I, you know, had received my first communion at 7. I remember feeling like the richest man in the world, of course, because my family had given me like $200 altogether, but I didn't really realize, you know, what I had been given in the sacrament. But it was resuscitated, you know, at 23. That long period from 8 when my parents divorced until 23, those are just like, it was like being in Egypt, being a slave to Pharaoh. You know, all the pornography, the weed, alcohol, fornication, all everything, you know. I was just so unhappy and miserable, and just, you know, they told me, oh, just take a pill, you know, you got a chemical imbalance, that's what's wrong with you, you just need this pill. You know, the pill didn't help. You know, I had a spiritual sickness, and no one was telling me, Paul, the way you're living your life is why you're feeling like you want to kill yourself. But that's politically incorrect to say that nowadays. But anyway, God broke into my life at 23, and he shook me by the collar, and I had an experience where it would have taken more faith to not believe in him than to believe in him at that point. And basically the ball was in my court if I wanted to continue living the miserable life that I was living or find a new way to live in joy and peace. And at 23, I started going to daily mass, praying the rosary, you know, the whole bit. And it's been a journey these past 10 years of falling back into sin, but not living in it consistently, you know. And I can't even express how much more joy and peace and fulfillment there is on the other side of the fence now, you know, as opposed to the way I used to live.
Wow, Paul. I know Debbie will have some thoughts, but I, you know, first I have to ask you, do you share this story, Paul? I mean, do you speak like in your parish or to youth groups or to any groups at all? Or do you have a forum for expressing these amazing things that God has done in your life?
Well, I go to AA and I go to NA just to, you know, help keep that old lifestyle at bay and to remind me, you know, how bad it was. So I don't really express the Catholicism part as much.
Right.
But, you know, I do, you know, try to share my experience, strength, and hope with the people there.
Yeah, see, and that's beautiful. You're doing it in a way that doesn't affront people's sensibilities and so forth, and you have that platform to be able to do that. And Paul, I feel like I'm looking in the mirror as I listen to you, because it was about the age of 23, 24 when God broke into my life. I had faith when I was young, but not a lot of formal religious education. My parents divorced when I was 7, yours when you were 8. And I just remember, you know, how alive I came in my faith and how grateful I was. And I still am to this day, even though, like you said, you know, I've sinned a lot along the way, but that's just out of human weakness. In fact, St. Francis de Sales says, we don't sin out of disobedience, we sin out of weakness. That is, we are trying to follow Christ. So you've got an amazing story, Paul, and I'm just Debbie, I'm going back in time. I'm seeing myself as I went through those years. It's so close to the way Paul is describing his journey.
Oh, yeah. So you can see the similarities. And Paul, I just wanted to say, as you were talking, text messages were coming in saying how everybody just they're so happy for you because it's just beginning. I know you said it's been 10 years, but I just want to say as a small child, I'm sorry you had to go through so much and you had to learn so much about relationships and everything and disappointment and I'm sure abandonment issues and stuff like that all happened at a very young, impressionable age. And I'm sorry that happened to you. But where you're at today is so beautiful. And, you know, sometimes, as you know, the good Lord lets us go through these really hard things in life so that we can appreciate where we're at today. But I agree with Jerry. I don't want you to stop there, Paul. I really don't. You have a story that needs to be told on a regular basis to a lot of young people who are struggling right now. And you can come from firsthand experience. And I just encourage you, if you have that opportunity at the parish, maybe offer your services, maybe speak to the youth group, speak to the teens, because they're going through things. My son was very young when I was faced with divorce. It was very hard for my youngest son. Very hard. In fact, I often say that was the day he died. In a way, it was very sad. He changed dramatically. But Paul, I just want to say, your story is, in my opinion, is just beginning with God. There's God has great things in store for you, Paul.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're very
Absolutely.
Welcome. Yeah, and I know, Paul, I can promise you right now, the global Take Two with Jerry and Debbie family is already praying for you and praying that God will continue to work through you. And just watch, Paul. Be sort of vigilant, not overly so, but just be vigilant as you go forward through each day, each week, each month, each year. Just watch. Be aware of those things that God is doing in and through you, and really invite him to do that. Say, God, bring people across my path who would benefit from my story. Okay, Paul, we're going to let you go on that, because Debbie, we have full phone lines here, so we appreciate Paul's call.
Thank
like you said,
you,
from
Paul.
Niceville, Florida. I like that. I'm going to rename my city Niceville, California.
I think the whole United States should be called Niceville. That would be great.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. God bless you. Keep in touch with us. Take2@EWTN.com. We love to journey with the Take Two family. Okay, Tom is up next in Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. That's a great way to listen to EWTN. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Take Two.
Hey. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I called because I've been having, ever since it happened, I was raised Catholic. I was cradle Catholic, had all the sacraments. And when we moved from our home church to a farm, I started going less and less to church. And then when the Vietnam War came around, I signed up for the Air Force. And sort of just left my faith. So there was probably 25 years of me not even talking to God and, you know, staying away from him. But I always had this yearning in my heart. And it was all, I didn't know what it was, but there was a void there. But I met a girl in Virginia, here in Virginia, and her dad said that if I wanted to date her, I had to go to church with him. Well, after a few years, the pastor said that he felt that I was led to become a pastor. So after, I guess it was 2 years or so, I got my pastor's license in a non-denominational church. And things were growing great until I was about 58. My wife saw a paper for Our Lady of Mount Carmel about RCIA. And she says, let's go check this out and see what it's about. And, the Holy Spirit had to lead her to see that in the paper because she normally doesn't read the paper. But so we went to the church and they had us, you know, they started going and they found out that I was a revert coming back into the church. So I had to go through a certain class. And I always had this void in my heart, never knowing what it was. But I know that when I was preaching, when it would come time to have communion, I couldn't do it. I could not say the words. I felt unworthy. And I knew that it was wrong because I wasn't anointed a priest in the church. But so we went through RCIA and I started falling back in love with the Lord. And the more and more we were going through it, the more my heart started burning. I just knew there was something I really needed. And then when it came time for communion, for that first communion after I came back into the church, I couldn't do anything but cry the whole time. I mean, it was so hard for me to even take the host because I was crying so bad. And I'll tell you, it was the best decision that my wife made, was to lead us back to the church. Because, I mean, it fulfilled something in my life that I really needed, and that filled that void to be able to take our Lord into my life again and to live for him and, you know, not to ignore him anymore. So since we've been doing that now, we've been doing really good in our lives. Everything has changed around. I mean, even my wife, even though she got sick and having kidney failure, I still know that God has led our lives. So because of that, we're just a blessed people because of my wife. And I just need to tell everybody that there's always time to come back to Christ. I mean, especially for reverts.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. Beautiful, beautiful testimony. And, yeah, I can sort of relate to yours as well. But I just wanted to say, you know, those years that you were away from the Catholic Church, you were still doing a lot of great good for the Lord. Just think about, Tom, all of those men and women and the children that you were preaching to and ministering to as a pastor in that other church. You know, you ultimately didn't feel like you were complete there. And that's certainly, I believe, the Holy Spirit. But you did so much good for others. See, God was with you. God said, okay, I'm going to work with Paul right now. Paul is going off in this direction. Okay, Paul, I'm going to go with you. And see, he never left you. And I think it's beautiful, Debbie, that it sounds like it was almost on a whim. He's like, hey, honey, you want to go to this?
Yeah. Well, Tom said his wife normally doesn't read that.
Right,
and so she,
right.
So it really was, God was working in a just a miraculous way, Tom. Tom, we have a prayer book at Take Two, and I put Tom and his wife, but if you'd like to give me your wife's first name, I can add her first name into the book. Would you be willing to do that?
Certainly, yeah. It's Nelma, N-E-L-M-A.
Okay, now I put Tom and Nelma in there. Okay, perfect. So, Tom, I just wanted to say, you know, when you said that the void that you felt or that feeling inside, you know, it just made me think, Jerry, did it make you think of St. Augustine? Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You know, we are made for God. We are made to be in communion with God. We are made to be in communion with each other. And when we disconnect from that source, when we disconnect from what we are made to be, there's always going to be a tiny little, you know, unknowing or a nagging feeling or a void or something that is saying, this just doesn't quite feel 100%. And so I just, Tom, based on your story and your testimony, I just want to say to other folks, if you're feeling something inside of you that says, I'm about 95% happy and at peace, but something's about 5% nagging at me, go back to God. Go back to God. Tom's story is proof of that. And you just said your lives have changed dramatically, Tom. And again, I will say, you know, there's no time in God's, you know, realm. Okay. So God is the God of the present. And so God is still unfolding great things in your life, Tom. And that's the beauty of being very intimate with God. So I just want to say more power to you. I hope great things are in store for you. Many blessings. And thank you so very much for sharing your story. Anything else you'd like to share with all of us?
No, just I just want everybody to know that need that you're feeling is God telling you to come seek Him, and you're that void, that need will be fulfilled, and you'll never want for anything again in your life because He takes care of everything.
Beautiful. You are right about that, Tom. And there are so many people today who are really struggling with that and say, how God, I'm in a situation that God can't help me, or if I try, I can't turn to Him because I turned away from Him. No, we can turn to God at any time. Tom, thank you. You're proof of that. We appreciate your call so very, very much. 833-288-3986. Talking today about, have you come to faith or back to the faith a little bit later in your life? Feel free to join us and share about that. And Debbie, before we get to our next caller, well, you mentioned that we're a praying, the Take Two family is a praying family. And if you don't mind, we just got an email that I really want to, oh, you saw it? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to just share this, folks. It's from Lynn. Lynn, thank you. If you're listening right now, she says, I have a nephew in another state who just reached out asking friends and family for help as he is very depressed. I'm asking for the EWTN family to include Chase in your prayers, and the good Lord will give him strength and courage and help carry him through this rough time and for healing, and that we as family and friends are given the guidance to know how best to help and support him. So Chase is his name, folks. That's another prayer intention. Global Take Two family. Let's hit our knees for Chase and his family right now.
Yes, definitely. And Jerry, I just wanted to say, we have to have a sense of urgency in this world right now. Folks, if you haven't done this already today, tell five of your friends and family members about their guardian angels. Okay, we cannot feel like we're alone in this world. When we feel alone, that's when things happen and we fall to despair. You have to know that you have a guardian angel right beside you, guarding and guiding you in all of your ways. That's a promise from God. So please tell everybody you can and make it like a mission of yours, because I think you will have a lot more peaceful souls in the world. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
This is your show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Feel free to join us today as we talk about people who come to faith a little bit later in life And Debbie, this, of course, as you know, and many of our listeners know, kind of in a way inspired by the story of St. Augustine, who through the prayers of his mother, St. Monica, she prayed for about 30 years for his conversion. Boy, did he have a conversion. He's now a great saint and a doctor of the church. But remember, Debbie, that great phrase by St. Augustine, late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. And that's something we can all say. It doesn't matter when we come to the Lord. If we say late have I loved you, it's still on time. It's late mm-hmm. is still on time with God.
That's right. That's right. Amen to that. I just wanted to share, Lynn, if you're listening, who sent us the prayer request email, please know that the Take Two family, EWTN family, is picked up their rosaries and they are praying for Chase right now. So please make sure Chase knows that he can be lifted on prayer by those that really love him and care about him, the family in Christ. Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, our next Whom or What Are You Praying For program is August 1st, so please make a mental note of that or write it down somewhere, put it on a reminder on your computer. August 1st, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is the day you get to call in and get the whole world praying for your prayer intentions, and you get to pray for theirs as well. Okay, Benjamin is our next caller in Greenville, South Carolina, listening to Take Two on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Benjamin. So great to have you with us.
Hi, good afternoon, Jerry and Debbie. This is it's sure a pleasure to be with you, and good afternoon to the listening audience.
Thank you.
I pray that my words will be helpful to someone, and I'm sure that God uses us where he would like to. Yeah. But the opportunity to call in presented itself, and so here I am. And I was raised in a strong Christian faith and in a very nice family, and I've had a good life. But I believe the enemy, you know, he has small ways, and I allowed things in my life that I thought were, you know, permissible, you know, possibly walking a line. But I believe that in God's eyes, sin is sin, and there is no graduated scale of it. And in his own way, I allowed different things to become idols. And then at age 54, I received a big wake-up call. God had always been present in my life, and I always felt a close connection with him. But I was faced with a choice that I wasn't sure how to solve, but I knew that God did. And I looked towards the heavens, and I said, God, I don't know how, but I know you do. And I'm going to start today to draw closer to you. And that began, you know, an amazing journey of getting more into the Word and seeking God through several denominations and sensing his presence and experiencing, quite frankly, some supernatural moments. You can call them God winks or manna or my daily bread, but they sustained me through some really difficult times. And in that process, I've seen God move, answering prayers, not according to my will, but according to his. And that requires me dying to myself daily, trying my best to exhibit and live the fruit of the Spirit that he intends for us, and being patient and being faithful. And so day and night for nearly 4 years now, approaching 59, God just continues to prove himself and brings my family into better unity, has brought us into better places. And so I know there's a calling on my life, just as God has a plan for everyone. There is a purpose. And God will always be there, but I believe he asks us to seek him and to listen. And that requires prayer. It requires being still, and it requires not just faith and belief, but also trust in our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So that's my Reader's Digest version.
That's great. That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful story, Benjamin. I just wanted to say, as you were speaking, I actually wrote down, and then you confirmed it in your words. I actually said, boy, you are very tight with Scripture. You could tell by the way you speak. And I just think that is so beautiful that you've gotten into God's Word in such a deep and powerful way. And you talked about dying unto yourself and to opening yourself up to what God's will is and all that beautiful unfolding of what God has in store for you. And you said this has been about like 4 years that you've had this kind of, I guess, new kind of outlook towards the journey towards God. I just want to say, it's incredible that you are, speaking the way you are and talking about it in 4 years, I just feel the good Lord is going to continually unfold things for you or reveal things for you because you are open to it. It's very obvious to me. I have to ask you a question because I'm curious in nature. You said about finding your faith. I'm assuming, are you Catholic or you are a part of a non-denominational group?
I was born into the Episcopal faith.
Okay.
Christened at age 3, very strong in my belief in the Episcopal Church, or just in the reverence of the worship of the Episcopal Church. And God led me to some New Covenant churches, some non-denominational churches, and okay. He used those to present the message to me in a way I had not heard before, and which, you know, drew me into His Word. Deeper into the study, deeper into some understanding, you know, counseling, and just, you know, going to God and saying, show me, teach me. Daily, I was in Proverbs for over 3.5 years and just intended to stay in Proverbs, but really over the last month or two, I haven't been, and I've been drawn into some other areas, but the fear of the Lord, seeking knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, calling out for insight. It's all there in the Word. He just uses it according to His will if we take the time.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and I just, may I ask this real quickly? I know we have full phone lines, but Benjamin, I'm just curious. You obviously listen to EWTN. Can you share with all of the, because we have a lot of non-Catholic listeners. I mean, so many. It's wonderful, and the family's growing. Can you share maybe, because you do it so well, so eloquently, what do you gain from listening to EWTN? How has it enhanced your faith journey? I'm really curious about this.
As you know, and as I'm sure many of your listeners know, God will use whatever He would like, but it's up to us to turn it on, to dial into it, to listen, to be receptive. And so the world matters, but God is in charge. So the mainstream media is just noise and confusion and distraction. And so in addition to my time in the Word, in the Holy Bible, I use daily devotions. A friend gave me XM radio probably three and a half years ago, and the various stations, I have them programmed in, and as I feel led, I just turn them on, and that's what happened, you know, 20 minutes ago. I came into your station, and it said, wow, if you came to Christ late, please, we could use you. Other people need to hear what you experienced. So I dialed in. I've never done this ever in my life.
Wow. Well, we're so glad that you did, Benjamin, and you are in a fantastic place. I know Debbie would echo this, Benjamin. We're hearing this hunger in you, this thirst, this openness. God, my heart is yours. My mind is yours. My life is yours. What does God say? Love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Debbie, I'm hearing all four of those bases covered by Ben. It's kind of like the Grand Slam, you know? But praise God, Benjamin. Thank you for enlightening us and really inspiring us today with your call. Keep listening, and please do call again anytime.
Just one small thing, if I may, is in my prayers to the Holy Spirit to tell me what He needed. It was, you know, be my son, be a man, be a husband, and then be a father. And so I had to study, you know, what does it mean to be a husband? And according to God's word, and it led me to things that I had to do, and I've done my best and will continue to do that. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, Benjamin. If you've listened to this show on a regular basis, I tend to get very emotional when things hit me very deep, and that just really hit me very, very strong. So, wow, that's amazing. God bless you, and many blessings to you and your family. What an amazing journey you're on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Benjamin, for the call. We've got Mary and Carmen and Carl and Tom. We're going to try to get to all of you. We do try to also respect those who send us emails. And from Pamela, she emailed take2@ewtn.com. Jerry and Debbie, my Reader's Digest version of Finding the Catholic Church is, I was always curious about the church. I was not raised going to church consistently. However, I was saved, quote unquote, in second grade. I've always believed, but unfortunately, I didn't always follow him. My late husband was not raised in church either. His dad claimed to be atheist, but he was raised with very strict Baptist parents. After my husband passed, I decided to start going to church, and I was going to Protestant churches. I ran across the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians and decided to attend a Mass with a dear friend. I attended RCIA and quickly realized that the more I learned about the teachings of the Catholic Church, I've been Catholic all along. The perspective of once saved, always saved never made sense to me. If we believe that Jesus told the lady caught in the very act of adultery to go and sin no more, then sin matters. If sin matters, sin can separate us from God. He didn't say, wait till I die and rise again and go sin all we want, because if you believe, you will be saved, right? He said, go and sin no more. I know that I am not perfect, and I pray that I surround myself with others that love God and me enough to correct my path when I'm not following him. Keep up the great work. And that's from Pamela via email.
Wow. These stories, I mean, they just really hit you hard. I mean, they're beautiful stories.
There's a depth, as always.
Yes.
I mean, every
yes.
day we realize this, Debbie, but today it's really coming through beautifully.
It is. It truly is. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Okay, Mary is up next in Illinois on Holy Family Radio. Hi, Mary. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. I guess I love your show. And
thank you.
I have an interesting story. I think it might be of use to somebody out there. I grew up Catholic. I'm a revert like you, Jerry. I'm a revert.
Cool.
And, I grew up Catholic and was, you know, pretty good until about 18 years old. And then the world came in. And, you know, I developed very worldly interests, was always interested, wanted nothing more than to be an actress. So I took my desires with me, and boy, I just, that's all I wanted. Very driven. Well, I drove myself all the way out to California, and I was living a very worldly lifestyle. I was trying in Hollywood to be an actress, living in an illicit relationship, and I'm in a play. And it was a comedy, and I was the evil villainess. It was Annie. I was Miss Hannigan. And this woman who was an evangelical kept coming to see me every night. She would come and see me. Well, like once a week she'd come and see me, rather. And I heard her laugh, and I recognized that laugh after a while, and I went, my goodness, that woman loves me. Her laugh told me that woman loves me. And I started playing to that part of the house. It was in the round. And I went up one night after the show. I said, I got to find her. And I found her, and I walked up to her, and I said, you've been laughing at me, which in itself is funny. And she said, she laughed. And I went, that was it. Well, we made this incredible connection, and she invited me to her home, and she was an evangelical. And she gave me the evangelical, if you should die tonight, why would Jesus let you into heaven question. And from there, we struck up a very close relationship. She taught me, she discipled me, as they say in the non-denominational church. And I was doing, I mean, within a year, my life changed 180 degrees. Gone was the boyfriend. Gone was the lying and cheating and thinking of ways to get myself ahead. I was in the Bible. I was looking at my whole life and saying, taking stock, who are you and what are you supposed to be doing? And this drove me all the way back home to Chicago, back home to repentance, back home to the desert, back home to making up for the sins of my life that led me all the way to where I thought it was like the Lord had tilted the United States all the way to the west and got me all the way to the ocean to get my attention. And then he pulled me all the way back to where I had come from and cleaned me up. And I mean, it's a very long story, but it's just the amazing, amazing part is I am a different, you know, I'm not a different person. I am the person God has made me to be.
Right on. Yeah.
Not perfect. You know what I mean? Not perfect, but it's the eyes. It's like in the Bible, something like scales fell from his eyes. Well, that's what happened in my life. Something like scales fell from my eyes, and I saw God, and I saw my life. And like Catherine, was it Catherine of Siena who said, or was it Teresa of Avila, he is God and I am not. You know, I am God is what he said,
Catherine,
and you are not.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
And I just, everything changed. very worldly life, living, running away, and I will confess this, running away from the sin of abortion and burying it in my ambition and never having done, ladies out there, never having done the work, the laboring in Rachel's vineyard, the truthfulness of saying, Lord, I put myself before you, and I did it to the degree that I hurt, I maimed, I killed. I did so much wrong in my life, and you are saying, come to me? And there's a point at which I can see how worldly women, young women, would say, no, I can't. I can't go in the church. God can't take me back. And I'm here to tell you, if you're listening, oh, yes, he will, and he will restore. He will, I mean, what is it, all what the locust has eaten? He will, you know, give back double for you, yeah, for your sins. He will pay you back double in blessing and joy and knowledge that you are his child. And I am now in my 60s, and I'm looking back, and my life
bless you. Bless your heart, Mary. And you are inspiring so many people. I loved what you said. You know, I'm not a new person. I'm just the person I'm supposed to be. And I think that's a good way to look at it, because sometimes we all and you know, the Bible does talk about becoming, you know, putting on the new man and taking off the old man and so forth.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think just from a general perspective, I love the way you put that, Debbie. And this is Mary and Debbie. This is what we should all try to understand is, you know, when we sin, when we damage ourselves because of sin or pursuing earthly pleasures and so forth, we are just simply denying our humanity and who God made us to be. And when we have a story like what Mary is sharing here, she has become the woman God wants her to be, still with sins and all. We all have our sins and all, but this is, I don't know what else to say. This is fantastic.
Well, I just want to say, wow, Mary, your story is incredible. And I pray, I'm hoping you do this. You use your, abilities in the arts, in your drama background and everything you've learned from acting. I hope you're using that in the church in a ministry way, because the kids need to hear you. You are filled with life. It is so obvious, and you have a lot to share, and you do it in such a beautiful way. And these kids need to, receive that from you as a gift, because there's a lot of kids right now that they have these worldly ideas of what they think the world can offer them. And your life story can benefit them greatly. I are you using your talents and gifts in ministry, Mary? I hope so.
I do have to mention, I of course returned during that journey. I did return to the Catholic Church. I don't know if I made that clear. And but I have been working with younger children. But
now
I am in a ministry where I am working with in the pro-life area. So yes,
good.
Particularly want to be in a listening position for young women, and I do want to talk to teens. So I do think that that's something I need to pursue.
Oh, definitely. I could feel the Holy Spirit on that one, Mary. You definitely got to get there. The kids need to hear you.
Yeah.
Your story could save lives.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Beautiful. Mary, thank you so much. What an amazing journey you've been on. You sound, there's such a lightness and a buoyancy, if that's the word I'm looking for, and just a joy in your voice. So thank
Absolutely.
You, Mary. We've got a lot of other calls here. And Debbie, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've done this to me before.
Okay.
Can we do a part two tomorrow?
Yes. Yes,
well,
please.
The phone lines are still so full. Yeah. So,
I know.
What do you think, Deb? I think this topic will carry over.
Yes,
so those,
definitely.
Those who we don't get to today can certainly weigh in on this tomorrow.
If you call back tomorrow, just tell Ryan you were holding, and Ryan will happily put you at the front of the line, because that's the least we could do. Then some of you have been holding for 20, 25 minutes, and that's a long time, and we just appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're not done today. We're going to get more of your calls, but just keep that in mind. Tomorrow will be part two of this Late Have I Loved You, if you came to the faith or back to the faith in Christ, at a later stage in your life. So we will get to more of your calls here in a moment. I just want to mention, we've heard from people today who listen, Debbie, to Sirius XM 130, Guadalupe Radio, our iCatholic Radio. So many ways to listen on an EWTN affiliate or on the internet. You can watch on YouTube and Facebook. But also, I have, and I know you do, Debbie, on my phone, it's the EWTN app. Folks, the phrase at EWTN is everywhere, and it is. So if you're thinking to yourself, wow, I don't have a radio station here, I don't have Sirius XM, how can I listen? Put it on your phone. Just download it. Go to your local app store, and the EWTN app is there. You've got not only radio, but TV, prayers, scripture, so much more. So get the EWTN app just like Debbie and I have.
Yep, absolutely. It's a must-have. Carmen, you're up next in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Carmen. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Oh, hi, and thank you for taking my call. I was kind of mesmerized by all the stories that I was hearing that I started to forget my own. But I came, I'm a, like a rebirth, is that what they call? Somebody that came back, but it was, I was raised Catholic, but I struggle to say that because I was raised, but not necessarily Catholic faith was practiced, was practiced in my home. It was more like an adopted faith because I'm Hispanic, and most Hispanics are Catholic or call themselves Catholic, even though they don't even resemble what it is to be Catholic. And so that's me and my sister and I, and we went to a Catholic school, and basically my family left the whole teaching of the faith to the school, but once you left, there was nothing in the home that would resemble what we were learning. And so that's how we grew up, basically confused. And a lot of the teachings didn't even sit. We didn't even remember because, again, it was never practiced in the home. So that's why I struggle saying that I was raised Catholic, because I wasn't really raised with the faith. But anyways, I found it. The one thing I remember from growing up was the fact that my family took the sacrifice of putting my sister and I through Catholic faith the whole time, from kinder all the way to 12th grade. And that counts for huge, I say, because it was a seed that was planted. And that seed, we didn't allow it to flourish. We made all mistakes. We got ourselves, hit the wall many times. And when I was married and had my first children, my first two kids, my husband, when they arrived to the age of going into school, my husband and I decided we want to put them in Catholic school. And we chose the best Catholic school that I could possibly describe. Amazing. And to this day, I just love them. And they taught very well the faith to my kids, so much so that my kids started asking me and my husband to take them to Mass, because we were doing the exact same mistake my family did, sending them to Catholic school but not really living out the faith at home. And that's where the journey began for us. We started going to Mass, but didn't really understand. My husband was an atheist. I was a fallen away, and I started going to RCIA on my own. I just looked it up, started attending, signed up for adoration. Didn't know what that was, but I still signed up for it because I wanted to become involved. And lo and behold, adoration was it for me. I have a hard time describing the miracles that happened after that, and so quickly too. And basically, I always remind my kids that they brought me and Daddy to the faith, and then I didn't stop there. I went ahead and brought my sister into the church. And then I am a very vocal person about my faith. I cannot keep my mouth shut, put it that way. I have to
find
any conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I go, I have to find a time to talk about God. And I am the kind of person that I'm evangelizing, which I thought back, if you would have asked me before, I was like, I would not be in that kind of group.
Right.
I am an evangelizer by nature. And for me, I don't worry about making friends or not making friends. I guess having a family, such a big family, I have four kids, my husband, my sister, my nephew. I don't feel like I need more. I just feel like I need to spread situation.
Right, right. But, well, Carmen, can I jump in for 1 second, please? Because the clock's going to run out, unfortunately. And we are going to continue this conversation tomorrow with a part two. But I just want to say your story is incredible. Keep talking. Don't let anybody stop your voice. You have something very powerful to share, and it can change lives. Look what it did with your sister, your family. I'm sure your community. I'm chuckling because one of my favorite saints is, everybody knows this, and it's probably everybody's favorite saint as well, Saint Anthony of Padua. Well, your city is named after Saint Anthony. Okay. You are just right in the perfect position as you so beautifully said. You're like a sponge. You're soaking it all in, and you're doing it through adoration. And if you look at the saints, Carmen, that's what the saints did. They went to the adoration on a regular basis. They were in adoration. And so it is awesome. Carmen, keep going. I just love your story.
Carl, Tom, Melanie, you have amazing stories to tell. Please, please try to tune in tomorrow. Call in. You'll be first up on the program. We got an email from Terry, from Mary's call. Terry says, what a beautiful show. I hear echoes of myself in every call. And she says, still learning and healing with every breath and every word. And then Terry wrote back, P.S., how perfect for the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. She loves Mary and her call. So that's beautiful. Thank you, Terry, for the emails.
Well, in part two, we're going to continue this discussion tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.